Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. The coronavirus saga continues, and we are broadcasting from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me. Bill, when we were kids, we weren't getting along very well in the sandbox.
No, not you and I being.
No, we weren't kids. You were a kid well before I was a kid.
Yes, that's right.
But when I was a kid,
clear that up.
When I was a kid, okay,
yeah.
And the kids weren't getting along very well in the sandbox, my dad would send us off to our rooms.
Little time out.
Little time out. Little spend time out. All by ourselves, you know. And, spend an hour or two separated. You know what's happening around the world right now?
Oh, isolation.
Stay at home.
Yep.
Stay at home orders everywhere. I think what's happened is that Jesus has sent us to our rooms. And what's interesting on this one, Bill, is that the stay-at-home orders are all over the world. My friends in Nepal, my friends in Korea, my friends in Bahamas, Mexico. There's just a lot of places in which you've got the stay-at-home orders. It's bringing the economy to its knees. But even, consider the churches. Consider the churches. For the most part, these churches can't meet.
Right.
And I believe, Bill, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is over all things to the church. I don't believe this is out from under his control.
No.
You know, he knows what's happening here. And this is according to his purpose. And I would say many Christians and Christian churches are complying with government orders for a reason. It's appropriate. And Jesus has sent us to our rooms. And I don't know exactly what's involved here, but I'm guessing there's some humbling. I'm guessing there's an encouragement to love the brothers and sisters in the sandbox a little better than we did the first time. I would guess that the whole denominational thing where we're just splitting up and not liking each other very much anymore. Bill, one of the things we're doing is we're getting together as pastors, as we can. There are opportunities for us, 10 or less. We are loving each other. We are praying with each other. Just this morning at the food pickup, and we have these food pickups, Pastor and I were serving together from a different church. We were in the same church parking lot, enjoying each other's company and, spiritually high-fiving, we didn't touch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we did.
Stay distant.
We did the holy elbow bump.
Right.
In faith. But, Bill, I think it's time for us to reassess some of these. That's all I'm saying. I think it's time to reassess.
You're
sitting in your room and you're thinking, next time I come together with my brothers and sisters in the sandbox, I'm not going to be throwing sand in their eyes like I did the first time.
Yeah, I'm not going to be kicking sand on them. You're gonna appreciate them more. Somebody's written, and I'm paraphrasing, that God is looking down and saying, so you made sports your God? I'll take away the sports. Sports is done.
Yeah.
Okay. You made your job.
Took away baseball. Didn't take away baseball?
Baseball, everything.
Baseball. Yeah. Everything. Golf is golf. Wimbledon. Wimbledon is on, right?
Even Wimbledon.
Oh, Wimbledon's gone. Oh, boy.
You made your job your God? I'm going to take away your job. Made your finances your sense of security? I'm going to take away your security. You made your entertainment the goal, and I'm going to even take that away, because in California, you can't even go to the beach on a weekend and watch the sunset. You'll get ticketed. They are ticketing people.
What's that sound? That sounds like the gods are falling. Dagon. Yeah. What happened to Dagon? He broke off his hands and his feet. What's going on with Dagon? Dagon's falling down. What's going on here with the gods of the heathen?
And
what's going on here, Bill?
You didn't want to go to church. I'm going to make it so you can't go to church.
Yeah.
So
there.
You're going to your room.
Yep.
You're isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to be more introspective.
It's time for an introspection.
Yep.
Yeah. Time for an introspection, friends. It's a time of humbling. And let's just all acknowledge it. Maybe we didn't the first week. The first week was a novelty. First 10 minutes you were in your room, it was a novelty. But then, Bill, as Dad, just had us in there for 4 or 5 hours, it's like by about the fourth, fifth hour, you're thinking, what are you thinking?
I want to get out of here. I want to stop staring
different.
At the corner of the
exactly.
room.
And I think that's what's going on right now, Bill. After 3 to 4 weeks of this, we're going to be done with the stay-at-home stuff. But you know what? we're going to be humbled and we're going to be thinking. We're going to be spending some time thinking about how we're going to do this next time. It's time for repentance. That's what we're talking about, friends. It's time for repentance. Time to humble ourselves, confess our sins, and ask for God's forgiveness. And you know what? He is forgiving. And let's restore relationship with God. Let's fear God. Let's love Jesus. Let's walk in his ways. Let's keep his commandments. Let's love his people more. I think that's a lesson we're getting on this stay-at-home order. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherds Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation. 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat. There are only 45 spots open. Reserve now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack also with me today from Worldview Academy. And friends, Lifeway Research has reported that only 7% of U.S. churches were holding live services as of March 29th. It's supposed to be something like 3% during Easter Sunday. Our church has done some Zoom preaching as well. We call it the Zoom preaching, the Word of God by Zoom. And we get it out by Zoom, and that's good. I think Zoom is a blessing. I believe Zoom is a blessing. But one of the things we're telling our church is Zoom is not church. Let's not overstate the electronic forms. Electronic teaching is okay. I mean, you're getting some of this teaching by electronic form. People are listening to this radio broadcast. And so, yeah, we're getting it out by electronic form. But it's very limited. Friends, let's face it. Zoom is not church.
And this is not church.
And this isn't church.
This is a commentary on current events from a biblical perspective, but it's not church.
With hopefully some teaching that can be somewhat encouraging, edifying. It's, some edification. But friends, let's be very clear. This is not church. Listening to R.C. Sproul or John MacArthur sermons on your iPhone is not church.
It can be edifying.
Yeah,
it can be encouraging. It can be eye-opening.
Yeah.
It can call you to repentance. It can call you to faith in Christ, but it's not church.
That's
church
right.
Is the gathering of the people for the purpose of edification.
Thank you. Okay? Thank you. And televised messages from star mega preachers, not church. Okay, so this has been the undoing, sadly, of the American faith to the point at which the body, Christ's body, the church, has been increasingly disintegrated in the minds and experience of so many quote-unquote American Christians. So we got to be very careful about this, friends. This is a means towards gradually moving away from the intention Jesus had for the relational context of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, Bill, I've got a picture here, right here. It was given to me by our brothers from Dispatches from the Front. Bill, now this is the church.
Okay,
we put this in our dining room. This is the church.
Kevin, we don't have a webcam.
I know, but
they can't see it.
But Bill, you can see it.
Okay,
you can see it.
I can see
you
it.
You can see it right in front of you.
There it is.
Now, Bill, let me ask you something about this picture. Is there a building here? Do you see the building?
No, it's got a great frame around it, but there's no
building.
But
there's no building.
No building.
There's no building.
It's a beautiful picture. It shows a winter scene.
Mm-hmm. It's a winter scene.
Of snow on the branches, and they're encased in snow, in fact.
Yeah.
There's a group of people gathered.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, these are Russian people all bundled up in the snow, right? They're Russian people all bundled up. Now, we put this in our dining room.
I can't see their accent. I can't see their dialect, so I'll have to take your word
for Russians,
it that they're
Russians. So. Trust me, they're Russians. Bill, now, they're human beings. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, they are human beings. 98.6 degrees mm-hmm. in this roughly the same geographical context.
Even though it's a winter scene and they're encased in a snowy woods.
Yes, they're in the woods, right? They're meeting in the woods. There's no building.
No.
But Bill, it's still the church.
It's the body of Christ.
It's the body of Christ, exactly.
And so,
isn't that a beautiful picture?
So there is some benefit to taking advantage of the technology. It's interesting that this pandemic occurred at this time so that we can take advantage, and the church has seized the opportunity and done what I often say, and that is to take what is common to the culture and turning it into a pulpit.
And that's fine. I don't have any problem with getting the Word of God out. That's fine.
Right.
But I'm just talking about the church here. That's getting the Word of God out. That's evangelizing, edifying. Okay, that's that. And that's fine.
Right.
We're not against Zoom. We're not against electronic forms. In fact, that's what we're doing right here. So,
and in fact, there's a church in California.
Not trying to be big, fat hypocrites here. But,
no.
Bill, one more thing. Bill, do you see this thing right here? Lift that up a little bit so you can see that. Do you see that right there? What would that be? Let me get that a little closer to you.
I can't really tell what that is.
Do you see what that is, Bill?
No.
What is it?
I don't know.
It's a little table, and it's got a little bit of something underneath
there. It's a communion table.
Yeah, it's a communion table. Yeah. Right. So, Bill, what do you see in the woods there? You see a bunch of Russian people gathered together under these trees. It's probably about 20 degrees below, okay, but 98.6 degrees people. Gather together in the woods, okay, and they're gathered around a table there. There's a guy who's kind of a, you know, looks like a silvery-haired pastor
guy. Yeah, looks like
guy.
He's the pastor in
charge. Must be the pastor in charge, yeah. And what's in front of him? What's that in front of him?
That communion table.
It's a communion table, right? And you see
there's somebody standing next to him, probably reading from Scripture.
Yep, he's probably reading the Word of God there. Okay, so Bill, that's the church.
And they're meeting in secret, apparently.
They are meeting in secret, yes.
And they're meeting surreptitiously and away from the government observation, probably.
So the question that I want to address is, what is the church? I like this picture. We keep it in our dining room because I sit down for breakfast. I just like to look at the body, you know. I got to remember what the body is. Bill, a couple things. If you read the Word of God, thankfully the Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work. And just look up the word church in the concordance. By the way, Bill, could you explain what a concordance is? Might be helpful for people. If you want to know what a church is, you look up church in the concordance.
Yeah, it's the ability to find out what words mean and where they're located in Scripture and how they relate to what Scripture says.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to find instances of where this word appears, you look in the concordance.
Exactly. So that's what I did, Bill. And I found 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18. First of all, when you come together as a church... What does that mean, Bill?
You gather.
Come together as a church. What does that sound like?
Sounds like what happens in that picture.
Does that sound like human beings coming together? Does this picture look like people coming together, Bill?
Sure.
Okay. Now, friends, I hope I'm not coming across as being, ironic. I'm simply trying to make this as simple as I can because I think Scripture gives us something simple here. When you come together as a church, I hear there's divisions among you, which isn't good. And there must be factions that those of you who approve may be recognized. Therefore, when you come together in one place, now what does that mean? Come together in one place. Does it look like they've come together in one place, Bill?
It does. Just,
they're in the woods there. They're all in one
location.
Place. Yeah, location, yeah. You come together in one place. It's not to eat the Lord's supper in this case, for in eating, each one takes his own supper. But what do you have your houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I do not praise you. But then he goes on and says, when you come together for the Lord's Supper, do it this way. Okay, so he goes on and talks about the Lord's Supper some more. So what is a church? Let me just talk about this briefly. Make it simple as we can. A church gathers. It's gathering. In fact, the word church is ecclesia, meaning called out from together. So you call out these people. These people have been called out, and they are all meeting together. So that's what a church is. That's what ecclesia means in the Greek. A church gathers usually to do the Lord's Supper and some teaching. Involves warm bodies, human beings, 98.6 degrees, roughly, give or take about 2-3 degrees. Not everybody's at 98.6 degrees, but some people a little higher, some lower, but roughly. I'm saying average 98.6 degrees. Now, why do I keep emphasizing that? Well, because, Bill, this is this computer right here, not the church. A church gathers.
It does get warm.
Yeah, I know. The computer gets warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. A church gathers also to hear convicting teaching. Now, I did the concordance thing and found 1 Corinthians 14 because believe it or not, the church actually shows up chapter 11, chapter 12, a little bit, gifts of the church. Chapter 13 says church better involves some love. 1 Corinthians 13 is big on love. And then 1 Corinthians 14, you get back to the gathering. So the whole gathering stuff happens from 1 Corinthians 11 about verse 18-ish all the way through 14. So the whole thing about, if you want to know church 101, you just read chapters 11, 12, 13, 14 of 1 Corinthians. And friends, you find that the church gathers their convicting teaching that convicts people to the heart. Listen to this, Bill. 1 Corinthians 14:23. If the whole church comes together in one place. Oh, now, is that pretty much what we're saying, Bill?
Yep.
Okay, so church comes together one place. If all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he worships God and reports that God is truly among you. Okay, so it involves, now there's some debate on what does prophecy sound like and, you know, is it edifying? Is it not edifying? Is it foretelling the future? Most of the time it doesn't involve foretelling the future, but certainly involves conviction of sin, conviction of truth. So any kind of teaching involving conviction of truth appears to be important in the church. I'm going to the basic stuff. I'm not trying to get into the controversial points on the program here, friends. A church gathers to do the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. A church gathers to hear convicting teaching. That's 1 Corinthians 14. And it seems to me that the teaching, the exhortation needs to be live. Real people exhorting real people. That is, the Holy Spirit tends to come down upon real people. And he doesn't come down over a compact disc, as you hear R.C. Sproul preaching. You think about Acts 4:31. When they had prayed together, there they were, praying together, the place where they were assembled together were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with the word of God with boldness. So here again, friends, what do we find? People gather together in one place, praying, or preaching, teaching, prophesying, whatever it is, and here you get a powerful sense of the presence of God. In 1 Corinthians 14, you also get something like that in Acts chapter 4. So, friends, a church is a thing that gathers to do the Lord's Supper, to hear convicting teaching. A church also has elders and deacons. I'm going to go through this quickly. This is obvious stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a faithful saying. If man desires the position of a bishop or an overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop or an overseer must be blameless, husband of one wife, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his house, how will he take care of the church of God? Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with pure conscience. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but I am delayed. I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So there it is. That's very, very clear. Churches have deacons and elders. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, Bill, what we're doing is what? We're trying to lay out the jurisdiction of the church. What is a church and what does it do? It does the Lord's Supper. It teaches. And, Bill, you know, jurisdictions are important, right? I mean, you can't have the state do what the church is supposed to do. If the state started serving communion, what would you say?
That's not the jurisdiction.
No. That's not your jurisdiction.
If the church started executing criminals, what would you say? Say that's not a jurisdiction.
No. You can't do that, right? That would be tyranny. That would be taking what doesn't belong to you.
It'd be usurping a jurisdiction that has not been authorized by God.
That's right. Well, the last thing I have to say, and there's more to say, but there's membership and accountability in the membership. 1 Corinthians 5:1. If somebody has this problem of sexual sin, the man has his father's wife, what do you do? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan, et cetera, et cetera. So, Bill, there you have again, gathered together. You know, the gathering together, Bill, human beings, 98.6 degrees, gathering together. What do we get? What do we got so far on the data? Friends, just check out the data. Check it out in the concordance. You can do the same thing as I did. It's not that hard to do. A church is a thing that gathers together to do the Lord's Supper, to hear convicting teaching, to have elders and deacons, and friends, you got to have a little church discipline.
And there's that sense of community that comes by having people close to you.
You do. I think so, Bill. You know, because how do you get the love of the body?
Even the businesses. Even business organizations realize that you can't do distance meetings without occasionally, at least, having people come together. So even the secular world recognizes this. And then how do you demonstrate that mark of the Christian and John. What is the mark of the Christian? It is that we love one another.
And here's
you can't do that really well from a distance. And here, it's up close and personal.
Here's the verse that strikes me. How can you know that you love God whom you can't see, mm-hmm. that you're loving your brother whom you can see?
Right.
Now, friends, that's a visible body. I think that's the verse that stands out in 1 John, is you're loving the brother you can see.
Right.
The brother in front of you.
Now, we can love people by giving gifts to those who are in need for our way. We can write letters, okay? But there's something about local community, local bodies of Christ gathering and celebrating what Christ has done and looking each other in the eye and yeah. going, hey, I love you.
And friends, that ain't Zoom. Zoom ain't church. Okay, Zoom isn't church. It's got to be visible. It's you got to be present. You've got to gather together. And so as this thing ends and we are able to come out of our room and come back up to the dining room and enjoy supper with Dad, will there be a greater appreciation for the church when this is over? Will there be more isolation in an isolating world when this is over? That's something you said, Bill. But just before we came on air, remember you said you're afraid there's going to be something like a memory or something of
there's
this.
There's going to be a muscle memory on this social distancing.
That's it.
I think it's going to last much further. If this thing said, okay, it's clear, we get an all clear next week, and people are allowed to go back to work, resume all normal activities, go to the gym, do all that kind of stuff, there's still going to be that muscle memory of social distancing, and I hope it doesn't infect and affect the church.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Oh man, let's pray for this, friends. Let's pray that God would restore his church. I mean, restore his church to something better than what we had. Come out of the basement, come out of our rooms, and come back up the dining room to have supper with our brother, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will there be more isolation or less isolation in an isolating world?
So I guess this means I'm invited to supper at your house now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you certainly will be invited to the Lord's Supper.
I wasn't invited to the wedding, but I'm invited to supper. Is that what it is?
Well, you're certainly invited to the Lord's Supper.
There you go.
That's the point.
That's right.
Friends,
the wedding of the Lamb.
Will there be less disunity? I hope so. Will there be more love for one another after this? I hope so. More valuing the visible body of Christ after? I hope so. Man, I hope so. And I hope there'll be appreciation for the preaching of the Word of God. More conviction of sin, more secrets of the hearts revealed, more unbelievers coming to the assembly and falling on their faces and say, God is really here in the midst of these believers. That's our prayer as this coronavirus pandemic comes to a close, according to the overarching rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he's good and ready for that to happen. Well, friends, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. I would encourage you to our little book on family. I have a chapter on family, church, and state, all three of these jurisdictions. In this little book called Family Life, I would encourage you to that little book, Family Life, which introduces you to the relationship of family and church and the family and the state and all of these things. Let's restore these biblical ideas in this postmodern age where we've come away from a biblical perspective of these spheres. Again, that book on an introduction to the biblical family and to the biblical church, the biblically oriented state. Friends, check out this little book called Family Life, available at generations.org. Get a copy of Family Life for your family and for your friends at our website, generations.org now. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.